It's Will Sean Podcast. The internet cried out for two more blowhards, and they courageously answered that call. Armed with the weapon of wit, each week they're joined by guests to discuss movies, television, pop culture, and anything else that's pissing them off. Take it away, boys.
I'm Will Link.
And I'm Sean David.
And this is Will Sean Podcast.
Grab your Lulav and Esrog and get your ass into the sukkah. How you doing, Will?
So, my boss at work... new boss. I like her very much. Really, very, 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 very nice woman. She decided that all the coworkers, we should go in on a Powerball thing. Like, oh, we should all throw money and, you know, we'll all win and be millionaires.
Are you the one guy that doesn't want to put the money in?
I don't want to put the money in.
And when they win?
Then I'm going to hate myself. So now I have to put... This is the problem. If your job says... We need to have you in this Powerball thing. You have to do it, because otherwise you're the asshole if they all win.
Here's why you do it. Because the $1 or $2 you put in, you've just bought yourself like a solid hour of daydreaming of what you would do if you won the money.
I might as well have just burned a couple of bucks, set a couple of bucks on fire, though,
no,
right? Same thing.
You can't put a price on dreams.
Well, I am putting a price on dreams. Apparently, it's $2.
Well, if you happen to win the Powerball, I know a fantastic financial planner. They'll be willing to come in and do a seminar to help you figure out what to do with all that money.
Well, you'll have to give me his card.
I will.
What's going on in the world of Will Sean Podcast?
Well, first of all, I want to thank any holdover guests we had from the Nick Wexler episode.
Big episode.
And if you listened last week and you decided to give us Jackholes another try, we appreciate it. Accept your love, and welcome to the show. We hope we continue to delight and amuse. Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter.
We got a lot of Twitter followers from the Nick episode.
We did. So thank you once again. We may call you assholes, but we actually do love each and every
it's
one of you.
It's a term of endearment.
No, it's not. You're calling them assholes. A couple additional things. Alex Stein is going to be having a book release launch party.
Party, yes.
Yes, on September 29th at the Fake Gallery. I do not know where that is, but it is the Fake Gallery.
Google it's on it. Melrose.
There you go. Put it in the internet, people.
If you're here in Los Angeles, go down there.
7 p.m. September 29th. And Dylan Brody's book, which is called Laughs Last, is now available for sale at the Bookstar on Ventura Boulevard in Studio City by Laurel Canyon.
So, look, you've heard them on our show. They're some of our all-time favorite guests. Go support them. They're good. They're good people.
Well, that's what's going on.
And who is our sponsor this week?
Well, Will, this week's episode is brought to you by AMC Television, where we take all your favorite shows and chop them into a million little bits. The network that takes two presidential administrations to air one season of Mad Men.
This is real. This new Mad Men thing. They're doing the Breaking Bad thing with Mad Men now. They're splitting it. So I was all like, oh, next season, last season of Mad Men. Oh, I can't wait. No, now I got to wait till 2015. Two seven-episode seasons.
Well, enjoy that. It's going to be a fucking nightmare. We're going to be dead before we find out.
I know. This is how I think about this, because my father, I remember when the Star Wars prequels were coming out, and he knew the last prequel was being released in 2005. I believe he said, oh, I got to make sure I live to 2005 now.
Well, was he happy when he finally saw it?
I think by 2005 it was. That third one's not bad.
That's not exactly a glowing endorsement.
But it's something to live for. On the show this week, speaking of television, new TV season has started. We're going to talk about some of the new shows and maybe do a little, will we watch them or won't we watch them?
So basically we're going to tell you about everything that will be soon to be canceled.
A big movie about F1 racing is coming out. And is anyone in America besides Sean excited? We're going to find out. And the Olympics, they've been making some bad decisions lately, and I'm a little annoyed about a new decision they're making, but we'll get to that in a moment. But first, we're very excited to have with us, she writes, does voiceover, runs a terrific essay show, and of course, she's Miss Laura, the trailer trash Ms. Manners, Laura Kane.
Well, thank you all for having me.
So excited to have you down here on the show. We've been watching, I know you were
binge-watching.
I mainlined
quite a few episodes today, and as I mentioned, I don't believe, like Sopranos episodes, not meant to be watched many in succession.
Well, it depends, you know, because the web series is called Y'all Are Rude, and so it's Miss Laura basically just talking about all these different situations in which people are rude, and if you're trying to figure out, you know, there's obviously some good advice in there. But
I wish you could see the face she just made.
And there's a lot of folks who, you know, it's funny because it becomes a game, is that Miss Laura is not only an expert on, you know, basically redneck etiquette. Also, she's a baking soda expert.
Yes, she is.
So it's now become a game of people trying to figure out, okay, she's talking about what this week and how in heaven's name are you going to tie baking soda into that? And I always figure it out because, you know, there's 100 uses for baking soda, so it's going to take me at least 100 episodes before I have to keep looking for more.
They put baking soda in everything.
Everything. You could use it for everything.
Well, let's take a step back because you're clearly not from here?
I'm originally from the South.
There
I'm
we
from
go.
Florida. Mm-hmm. Yep. And, well, my background is that I've been an actress since I was a kid. I was also a radio talk show host and a television personality in Dallas. And,
oh, okay.
And a voiceover actor. I'm a voice of everything. The people have heard me on, I was the only female announcer on Wheel of Fortune. And I'm the voice of CNN's Hero Show. I've done that several years in a row.
Interesting.
And so, I mean, I've done stuff all over the world. That's, you know, that's my actor voice.
Mm-hmm.
And really what happened is that when I started doing stand-up comedy, they're always like, okay, you have to look at something in your life, you know, what is it? And I realized I just want to be me. I want to use my real accent.
Yeah.
You know, that it's so funny because people will hear me on the phone. You know, here I am in L.A., and people will hear me on the phone either with my family or friends, and they're like, what is that? You know, like, where did that come from? And I'm like, this is my real voice. This is how I actually talk to everyone, you know, that when I don't have to sound very precise and never drop your endings and, you know, be perfect, then this is the real thing. And so that's kind of where Miss Laura came from, is that it's like
a way to get that
and embrace the,
it's a way to really, and also I've also spent my life, like a lot of people, getting a lot of education and trying to be urbane and sophisticated. And the truth is that my whole background's trailer trash.
So why not own it?
And I finally decided, you know what? I have this wonderful piece of art that I found at a Santa Fe flea market.
Like you do.
And it's literally, it's a piece of found trash. And it was like one of those sardine cans. And in it, she put a little plastic skeleton. And it says that if you can't, you know, if you can't keep the skeleton in the closet, you might as well take it out and let it dance. I have that sitting there I have a studio in my house. That's where I do all my voiceover work. And I've been looking at this every day. And I finally realized that that's what it was, is that, you know, it was Miss Laura going, she will not be unheard anymore. She must speak.
Now, you said that, so you're from Florida, and then you went to Dallas from Florida?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So that was your stopover before L.A.?
Yep, yep.
What made you go to Dallas? Like what?
Well, if you go east, you're in the ocean.
Very true. And if you go a little tiny bit west, you're in the Gulf of Mexico. Yeah, I worked for a really fascinating man in radio. I worked for him in Florida, and he ended up in Dallas, and so I was working for the Home Shopping Network.
Interesting.
There's an interesting world.
Yeah.
And the original one, before they became, you know, something respectable.
Back when it was literally people's trash on television.
Oh, yeah.
They were trying to sell.
Yeah, it was fascinating. And so anyway, he got this job in Dallas, and he was working. He's a white guy, and he became the program director for a black radio station.
So he called you?
You know, this was at the beginning of when black FM radio stations would start dominating the radio market all over the country. And he really brought that format into fruition. And so he was like, you need to come out here and be a part of this. And I wanted out of Florida, so I went to Dallas, and it was a lot of fun. It's a great town.
Nice. I've never been.
To Florida?
To Dallas.
Oh, I've been to Houston, but it's not the same.
Very different.
So then at what point did you say, Dallas, I love you, but I got to get to Los Angeles. At what point did you say, I got to go further west?
You know, I had a friend who, she was determined to go to L.A., and she didn't want to go by herself. So she was like, you have to come with me. And she was very persuasive and talked me into it. And so that's when I came here the first time, and I went to work for KFI as a talk show host.
Oh.
So I worked for KFI when they actually had liberals on the air. How long ago was
that? That was John Coble and Ken Champeau, was it before
that?
Yeah,
and
What kind of talk show? Like what kind of
politics?
Political, yeah. Radio politics. AM Los Angeles. Yeah. Political AM talk radio.
And they really and they carried the gamut. You know, they had conservatives, they had moderates, they had liberals, they had a little bit of everything. And
they
it
was were
really fascinating.
Fair and balanced.
They were fair and balanced.
I remember listening to it as a kid growing up here in Los Angeles, and every show would have a completely different just take on it. Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and now fair and balanced. Give me a break.
Yeah, exactly.
Bless their hearts. But
that's such a southern like thing to
I
say.
I swear,
like,
I'm telling you.
Oh, go fuck yourself. Bless your heart.
But see, it's such a versatile phrase because it can mean, you know, bless your heart, like sympathy. It can mean bless your heart, like, oh, you're just so wonderful. And it can also mean exactly what you just
go
said.
Go fuck yourself.
Exactly. And very versatile. So, you know, it was a really amazing place to work. I worked with Tom Likas and that whole crew, and it was amazing because it was such an amalgam of completely different.
Yeah.
You know, plus, I mean, the station could be heard in 48 states. It was crazy.
And this was before internet internet radio and podcasting, where people could just listen to the show. They just listen to Tom Likas or whomever. Yeah, they were nationally syndicated.
Yeah, yeah, it was really amazing. And so, and then I ended up going back to Dallas because I had written a book. I'd written a self-help book that got published on HarperCollins, and my co-author was back there, and so we really wanted to do a lot of things with that book. And so I went back to Dallas, and then I just couldn't stand being landlocked another minute.
You got to come to weather.
I'm serious.
You went to Venice.
It was the beach, you know. Yeah. I swear, it's like
There's something about living on a coast. I'm not even that big of a beach person, but I know there's an ocean nearby.
I've lived in LA, born and raised here, and I could. I fucking hate going to the beach. It's such a chore.
You know what? Well, I mean, I grew up in Florida. Yeah. I grew up my whole life near the water, and it's like, to you know, as much as I really had a great time in Dallas, it's the landlocked thing just killed me.
And Texas.
Yeah, it just killed me, and I was like, you know what? I've got to go. And I had an agent here, and I had been going back and forth for a long time, and I finally just went, okay, that's it. And
you're going back and forth enough. You might as well just.
Yeah, and it was a really different place because when I lived here before, it's just, you know, this is right before, right? Literally exactly right before all the riots and the earthquakes and the, you know, everything happened all at once and the mudslides.
Oh, 20th anniversary this January.
Yeah, and it's like nobody, you know, nobody really, really knew you need people. And so, you know, there was just a lot of that. Like, I found it very difficult to make friends. Real difficult.
Interesting.
And then when I came back, it wasn't like that at all. It was like everybody realized, you know what?
It was like they'd all been through
this thing. This is a dangerous place to live, people.
And they just went through shit and
And it's like, you know what? You better know your neighbors. You better know your neighbors. You better have friends. You better have people that you can count on because it's an unpredictable place.
That's such a fascinating take. Once again, grew up here my whole life, but little younger than you, and just had a completely different perspective on all of that, and I've never heard it put quite that way before, but it makes a lot of sense. It's, you know, sort of pre-internet, pre-networking. I remember the earthquake, I remember the riots, and it's very interesting. Okay.
And it is interesting, you know, how much, like you're saying, the internet changed everything because, like, my show, Word Salad, which is so fun to hear you talk about Alex and Dylan because they've been on my show a number of times. They're wonderful performers, writers and performers. Yeah. And of course, everybody that's been on the show. So the show's been around for 3 years. We do the first Tuesday, and we do it in Venice. And the thing is that there is no way before the internet I could have done that show.
Yeah.
I just...
How do you reach out to people? Yeah,
Hello, storytelling?
Yeah.
Give me a break. It's like...
Put it in the recycler.
Yeah, but seriously, Facebook built my show. Now, I don't know how other people's shows have done, but there is no ifs, ands, or buts about it that Facebook has built the audience for my show.
I would say from going to a lot of these shows and now performing in a bunch of them, I would say it's all because of...
Well, you can do telegrams. Storytelling show. Stop. First Tuesday of every month. Stop. Yeah. Venice, California. Stop.
I'm going to send out a bunch of pigeons.
Yeah. 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 Yes.
Now, you mentioned... I just wanted to touch on it real quickly. You had mentioned that you were a voice on Wheel of Fortune. So, what other stuff have you been able to use your voice on? Like, what other work?
Oh, I've done video games, you name it. I've done tons of national commercials. I've been the voice of radio stations in Japan.
Wow.
I mean, I've done, like, crazy things. It's weird when you go to another country and you run into your own voice. You're in a store and you run into your own voice. It's like, you know, you're just kind of like, you know, because
that's going to be an awesome feeling, though.
I have a friend who's a German, and what he does is he will do, for airlines, he does the German translations for American films, but and then they record it, but he's got to find German equivalents that don't have the curse words that also somewhat match the lip movements of the English. So he goes, you know, I was flying back to Berlin and I got to watch a version of a film that I did. It was very surreal, you know, having to watch his own translation of a film that he had done the script for, basically rewriting the entire script without curse words, keeping it idiomatic and keeping it to match the timing of the cuts.
Honey, I bow down to him because that's not a skill I have.
It takes him like a month and a half to do one movie. It's crazy.
Oh, it must, because that's an incredible skill.
Yeah. Going back to being in a Japanese store and hearing your voice over the...
Now, that's great that you can make a living and make money off of your voice. This is something that clearly, with the podcast, we are trying to find a way to do all this. So I admire anyone who's got that going.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
If only we were born in the South.
I have the opposite thing. Like I have.
Now
a very
I don't use. I don't.
Voice.
I almost never use my Southern accent for all my voice work, except
ironically,
for like,
only
video
in Japan.
Game. And pardon?
Only in Japan, ironically.
Yes. No. And you know, it's really interesting, and how that world has changed so much is because it used to be the only way you could ever get voiceover work was through agents, and then the internet came along, and there are two major sites in which you can literally, that's how I do, I work for people all over the world because they find me through these sites, and you know, it's really fascinating. So, and pretty much anybody can now be a voiceover actor, because as long as you've got a computer and a mic and, you know, an interface and software, and you can set yourself up in a closet with some soundproofing. Bingo!
And you got it made.
Come on, Will.
People need my New York accent.
It's
they
true.
Oh, you're very angry and neurotic. I don't know if I want to buy a product from something hot to buy you.
No. I could sell you...
You know what? Bruno Kirby made a fortune.
Yeah.
He made more money off voiceover work than he ever made off of doing movies.
I could be Bruno Kirby.
All right.
You know what? They've been looking for somebody to replace Bruno Kirby since, you know, the man, bless his heart,
passed
away.
There we go. You'll be the next Bruno Kirby.
I would take that in a heartbeat. That'd be great. City Slickers.
2. Legend of Curly's Gold.
Now, the you mentioned Word Salad also. It's a terrific show. I got to check it out about a month ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm proud to say I will be performing in it in January.
Yes,
the
you
January,
will.
Or January
I'm busy.
7th.
Hair appointment.
And our next show is October 1st, first Tuesday, October 1st. So, doing supernatural stories. Woo!
Yeah,
so
there's a theme every month.
Right.
That should be interesting. Now, Miss Laura.
Yes.
Now, you already said part of the genesis for this web series was something that you got to use your accent and use your real voice. Now, how else did you have to develop the character? I mean, how much of you is just Miss Laura?
So, let me take this out. For people who don't know, what exactly is Miss Laura? What does she do on a regular... What's an episode of Miss Laura like for the
so
listeners?
So, an episode is that people write into her with their problems, and they're talking about, you know, the situations in their life in which people are rude, and then her job is to give them advice on how to deal with that, and then at the end of every episode, she also gives a tip on baking soda and how you can make your life better for that, too. So, you know, and I think the reason why people think she's so fun is because, I mean, she's ridiculous and out there and you know, loud and opinionated and obnoxious, let's be real. But the truth
we would
is,
know nothing about that on the show.
I'm a gentleman and a scholar.
Exactly. But, you know, but the reason why people, I think, find her so entertaining is because you'll laugh at something she says and then all of a sudden go, Oh, wait a minute. That's really good advice. And that was my intention.
It's kind of a mix of both.
Exactly. My intention is that, you know, this isn't, Miss Laura is not Honey Boo Boo. She is not stupid.
Not Mama June either?
No, she is not Mama June. She is not stupid. She is, you know, the truth is that she's very smart. But at the same time, she also is like, you know, she's got to tell it how it is to everybody and how they got to deal with the fact that, you know, basically the world is rude and it's her job to make everybody learn how to be more polite.
Yes.
And Miss Laura gets very topical, too. Like, you've done videos on,
the NSA.
Kanye. And, yeah, the NSA.
Edward Snowden, yes.
I'm telling you, the NSA video, that thing, what do I have, 140,000 hits on that
Jeez.
Thing? It's crazy because it never leaves the news.
Yeah.
So I just keep tweeting it. I keep tweeting it and
sending
it out.
And then anyone searches NSA, they come across
And how
Ms.
much
Laura's
NSA and... comedy is there out there? Not much. So I put NSA comedy, and people just are like, they just find it really funny.
To be fair, 139,000 of those hits are just the NSA checking to see what the fuck's going on. We got another leak. Oh, wait, no, it's just that.
The NSA, a huge, Miss Laura fan.
But you think they would be, because the whole point of this video is that why men should be thankful for the NSA.
Yeah.
And so it's like you think that they would be like a big fan of Miss Laura's comedy, because I'm like saying, you know, what y'all are doing at the NSA is not bad.
So, actually, I have a quick question. I don't know if you necessarily know the answer, but do you know where it's most popular, either geographically within the country or globally? Where do you get a lot of hits from or traffic
from? You
know
what's funny is I get a lot of international traffic, which is surprising to me. But the truth is, when you think about it, everybody's got their hicks.
Yeah.
Every country has their own country hicks. So it's humor that translates, because everybody's got their own version of rednecks.
Yes.
So it's not like we don't get it, because you know, everyone's got that. Everyone's got their city folks, they got their farm folks, and you know, and
that's true.
And so they're like, okay, we get her.
Right.
They're a bunch of French hicks that I think seem so sophisticated, but really they're like the laughing stock
of
France.
Or in, you know, there's that joke in Real Fast, that movie Love Actually, where the British character comes to America to get American women. And they ask him, oh, where are you from? He names a town. And I guess the joke is that that is the hickiest, most backwater. It'd be like going to England and be like, I'm from Mobile, Alabama, and they're getting all enchanted.
They're like, that's so hot.
Oh, yeah, exactly. So.
Well, then I have to ask, because it seems like things are going really well for the Miss Laura series, the Y'all Rude series. And I find saying y'all are rude out of my mouth with my accent amuses me.
I think every time you say it, an angel loses its wings.
So I gotta ask, before we move on, like, who is next? Who's rude? Who's next in Miss Laura's sights as being rude? Like you said, you did the some Kim and Kanye stuff, Edward Snowden, NSA stuff.
Who's on the list? Who's next?
Well, I just did the dog people. Just talked about, you know, how people who both own dogs and how they're rude to other people, you know, dogs owners. And so I just did dogs, so I got to do cats.
Yes.
I got to do cat lady.
We've discussed this.
We're going to do cat ladies in the next episode.
Cat-themed episode. We had a girl on this girl, Amanda Nix, who has this web series, Cat Assistant. We did a very big cat-themed podcast with her.
Well, and Miss Laura has been introducing her neighbors and her friends. So she has, you know, her neighbor Bubba, who lives next door, and Bubba has a big old, you know, old Chevy up on blocks in his yard and outside his trailer, and he's always bent over it with, you know, the butt crack thing going on. So Miss Laura is going to have further adventures with Bubba, her neighbor.
So the Miss Laura universe is expanding.
It is definitely expanding, and so she's going on there. And yeah, it's been real fun. I've got over 1 million hits on the series so far. I think we have almost 20 episodes. And so that's been pretty amazing that we've had such, you know, that me and my producer have had such a great response to it. And we're just kind of keep on. And we also got picked up by, there's a independent TV station in Salt Lake City. And so they're carrying it.
Interesting.
So that's kind of fun. And
make great little bumpers on a television station, just, you know, between. You gotta
actually, they're the perfect for that.
Yeah, they're 2 minutes, 20 seconds.
Yeah, they're real short.
Oh, I know how long they are. I watched a bunch of them today. I know how long they are.
Now, before we move on to some of the topics that we wanted to talk about of the week, why don't you tell everybody where they can find all this stuff, all the Miss Laura stuff, information on WordSound. Where can they search on the internet for this
information? They can find, well, the website is misslaura.com. It's MISSLORA. Yep. So just for people, it's not spelled the traditional way. My name is spelled L-O-R-A.
Not
Mama came
Zhivago.
Up with that.
Not
Bless
the Dr. Zhivago.
Not the Dr. Zhivago and not the tell Laura I love her or any of that. It's MISSLORA.com. So all the web series is on there. And, of course, you can search for her on YouTube, too. And Word Salad is WordSaladLA.com. And you can also, you know, search Laura Kane, and it'll automatically bring up Word Salad. So.
And if you are a good listener of the podcast, you have already watched a ton of Miss Laura's stuff because we have a link to it up on our Facebook page.
You guys rock. Miss Laura totally, totally appreciates that. See, y'all are not rude.
Exactly.
Well, the episode's not over yet.
Yeah.
Well, you know what? That's true. You know what I'm having so much fun with, though, is so my hashtag on Twitter, my Twitter name is Ask Miss Laura, both on Twitter and on Facebook. And my fan page is Ask Miss Laura. But my hashtag on Twitter is Y'all Are Rude.
Yeah.
And it has been so funny how many people are picking up on that hashtag. They just was one today with this guy saying, I'm not going to be going to the softball games anymore. The bottom line is y'all are rude. And it's not, they're not even in the South.
Yeah.
It's not even in the South. And I was like, yeah.
Nice. People in Connecticut.
It's just something in Korean and y'all are rude.
It just goes to show that, you know what, use a hashtag long enough and it's an interesting enough one. Like if there's people that are listening to your podcast that are Twitter folks, that use a hashtag long enough that's a really good one.
It'll catch on.
It will catch on.
Well, on that note, I tried to get a hashtag going today.
You did.
During my lunch hour, a hashtag delicious literature. And I kept changing the names of books to be delicious. And it was sadly only myself and Christy Morales. And
I sent one.
And you did get one.
I sent one. I said
Catcher in the Marble Rye. I was very proud of a light dinner in August, but I did about 20 today during my lunch break, just slamming out titles, but nothing took.
So, as I said before, the new TV season. So, are we excited about the new TV season?
Nope.
Well, Walking Dead's coming back, so I'm happy. What can I say?
Yeah, I'm a big Walking Dead fan. He is not.
I got to tell you something. I can't stand zombies. I've never seen any zombie movies. I'm like, it's just, and my sister, of all people, who never liked zombie anything, got me turned on to Walking Dead. And I'm just obsessed with that show. I find it absolutely... Now, first of all, I also record it so I can, like, zip through the gross parts because I still don't like
the gross
parts.
That's the best part.
But, well, hello for, you know, 18 to 25-year-old guys. Okay. Or 15 to 25-year-old guys. But so that's... I find it interesting. And Hell on Wheels is back. I don't know if you've seen that show. Have you guys seen that show?
I haven't. It's one of the few AMC shows I don't watch.
Let me tell you something. Do you want to see... Some of the finest writing on television is that show.
Because I've heard such mixed things.
Oh, my God. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Well, this comes to a dilemma. Like, you just touched on a show that we don't watch because there is so much TV and we could only watch
finally,
so much.
Finally.
Yeah.
How many years was there a wasteland of television?
Well, there is a ton of new stuff starting. So I thought maybe I'd throw some of these out and let's see if they sound interesting and maybe you want to tune in. Because our time is limited, people. We can't watch everything. So are we willing to take chances on
some of these?
Are
you being metaphysical? Like our time on this earth is limited?
I mean, you know what? I'm often haunted by the fact of that there'll be a TV show I love and I will die before it's over. Because even I'll be an old man watching a TV show and... One day I'll die and I'll never get to know how, like, that show ended, you know?
I'm sorry.
I mean, these things haunt me. There'll come a time where I just have to stop watching TV shows just so that doesn't happen. But that time is not today. So, one show that premiered this week, Sleepy Hollow. It's about the Headless Horseman and Ichabod Crane are transported through time to modern day.
And it got a really good review in the LA Times, which was so surprising.
I heard it's just batshit crazy, and people are saying you got to watch it for how just out of its mind that this show is. So,
because the concept sounds like, you know, it sounds like a coke idea. Like people get a lot of coke and said, where can we go? Ichabod Crane.
But it's open source, so we don't need to pay for it. It's all public domain. This is one of those shows that I slate into the wait and see. This is where I think television critics are so important these days. It's that I need them to sift through the crap. I'm going to let 6 or 8 episodes of this show air, kind of get the temperature of what the overall consensus of the show is, and then make my decision. But I'm not going to commit right now.
Do you guys watch either Grimm or Once Upon a Time?
Do not.
No.
See, my sister watches Once Upon a Time and loves that show. You know, that one is where all the fairy tales
right,
are real.
Yeah.
And that's, I think that's what's happening, is that they're trying to capitalize, because Once Upon a Time and Grimm have all done real well, so I think they're trying to capitalize on that.
But also, they don't have to pay because it's public domain.
But that's part of, I think, what she's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they're doing like a dark version.
Well, they did a spinoff. There's a season we have, Once Upon a Time, Wonderland.
Wonderland. Yeah. I am a big fan of all things Alice in Wonderland.
Even Tim Burton?
That one has problems. But I'm like willing
Johnny
to.
Johnny Depp.
I'm willing to.
Was
give,
that who that was? Couldn't tell.
I'm willing to maybe give that one a chance because I just like Alice in Wonderland symbolism and stuff like that.
What I'm amused is that you actually own season one of Once Upon a Time and haven't watched it.
And haven't watched it.
Well,
really?
It was given to me as a gift, and I just haven't gotten around to it.
Okay. Well, you might get hooked.
I'm sure I would. That's
all you
thing
need.
I'm afraid of. Okay, another show. Dads. Now this one has got to be.
That one I heard just saw.
Yeah, I mean that's in the early running to be the first canceled.
I don't know that it'll be the first canceled
because Seth MacFarlane has a deal with Fox.
Here's what basically Fox passed on Ted, and went to Universal. Ted became the number one R-rated original comedy of all time. A number of people at Fox were executed because of this, and now Seth MacFarlane gets to do whatever he wants at Fox. And even though the show is getting terrible reviews, Ted was good, but even though the show's getting terrible reviews, that doesn't mean it'll be canceled. People may watch
it. People might watch it. And it may get rated. A fan base.
Right.
It may get, you know, look at 2.5 Men. Terrible show, but people watch it, and, you know, just because it's bad, there's a lot of crap on TV that people watch.
Now, the one thing that people were very upset, apparently in the pilot, there's this big Asian schoolgirl joke. They were saying, like, where this one character, she dresses up as an Asian schoolgirl to turn on these businessmen or something. Now, here's my thing. Yeah, that's kind of a stupid, cringeworthy joke, but what did you expect from the guy who does Family Guy?
Yeah,
I mean,
hello.
That's the least offensive thing he's done.
I know, exactly. Is it just because it's not animated? Is that why
That's what I think it is that there's so much you can get away with cartoon characters that when you do it with live people, it's like,
yeah.
You know?
So we actually had to get a girl to audition and put on the little outfit and
Now, the same night, on this Fox Tuesday Night Comedy lineup, which already has two shows I love, New Girl and The Mindy Project, two shows I watch, I really think are funny.
And we're missing right now to record.
There's this show premiering Brooklyn Nine-Nine, which I've actually heard really good things about. This is Andy Samberg is a cop, and Andre Bauer is also a cop, and he kind of jokes around with his image of playing cops in the past in it. I hear good things about it. Are you willing to give this
Andre
one a shot?
Andre Brower in a sitcom.
Yeah.
Like, the mind is boggled by that.
By the way, he plays like the police chief or whatever, the head of the precinct. He also, apparently, his character's gay.
Really?
Yeah, I read that today.
Well, I'll tell you what, to be truthful, I've watched that man just breathe. There's certain actors that you just watch them sit there and do nothing because they're just so fascinating.
I feel like he's
one of those.
So you give
like
the show a shot.
I might just for him because I find him just absolutely fascinating.
I don't even know who we're talking about.
You know, he used to be...
Seriously, you never saw him on Homicide?
Homicide, Life on Streets is one of the great cop shows.
God, one of the all-time...
I wish my parents were... controlling. I couldn't watch these.
One of the all-time great comics.
I didn't have a poor upbringing like you will.
You
had standards and practices in my household.
Homicide Life on Street is one of the all-time great comp shows. Watch it. Andre Brower is brilliant. And he won awards.
And
they
brought it back on one of the cable networks.
So this isn't Eric Andre.
No.
Okay.
No.
So will you watch Brooklyn Nine?
Yes, because it's got good buzz, and I like Andy Samberg. I'm willing to give it a shot.
And I'm already watching a lot of TV that night. Might as well throw in one more show. But competing on the same night. Now, this is one of the few shows that I've been convinced that I have to watch. S.H.I.E.L.D., the Marvel comic show. Because Marvel has convinced me that if I don't watch S.H.I.E.L.D., I might lose track of something that happens in a movie that I'm inevitably going to see in the next year or two.
So the Dark World won't make sense if you...
If I don't watch S.H.I.E.L.D. Are you a comic book person?
Oh, my
comic books?
God, I was huge. I loved comic books. So I watched all. I did the whole thing. I loved the X-Men. Matter of fact, I read every genre of comic books.
Interesting.
Like, I read not just the superheroes and the standard guys, but, I mean, I just went across everything because we had a wonderful bookstore that had used comics. So I could get, you know, every kind of comic really, really cheap, you know, and afford them on my allowance.
Like the Daniel Cloves and American Splendor and all that.
Who was it, the cowboy guy that I just absolutely love, one of the westerns?
Preacher? No.
God, my brain just went completely on hold. He had red hair. Of course, so of course I would love a redhead character.
Donnie Bonaducci.
No. Yeah, no. No, it'll come to me now. Let's stop thinking about it. But yeah, it's like I read just everything, and then I became, I don't know how that happened, but I know what it was. I was in radio, and I just had the worst bosses in the world, and I started reading Conan, and I just became a complete Conan the Barbarian fan, both the black and white graphic novels and the color, because my life was so complicated and so frustrated that it was like, it was so fun just reading about somebody that basically, you know, they either screwed it or killed it. It was like
very simplistic. Very,
very, very simple.
Two options.
As a matter of fact, I wrote an essay that was very, I had an essay that was very, very successful that people just, about that very fact, you know, about my love affair with comics and superheroes and then, you know, that whole thing of, sometimes, you know, when your life is very complex, just to have something you're reading
escape
that is
into.
Escape into where it's like everything is very simple.
So were you willing to escape each week into Marvel's S.H.I.E.L.D.?
You know what? If it sucks, okay, I won't stick with it, but I have
you
to
got,
check
yeah,
it out
gotta
because
give it a shot.
I love superheroes.
Honestly,
stuff,
very interesting you say that because I find that the more complicated my life gets, the more I'm drawn towards difficult art, complicated literature. Like, I'm the
really?
Exact opposite.
Okay.
I don't get the idea of, like, coming home and just zoning out to Real Housewives.
Is it because you want to have something that you can focus your mental energy on that's not as important necessarily as the stressful things in your actual life?
But I still need it to have a certain level of complexity I need to dive into. I need to read something difficult. I don't really engage with just mindless entertainment. So Yeah, I just have a completely different mindset, but I get that impulse, but...
But do you think because S.H.I.E.L.D. is a Joss Whedon thing, there'll probably be more to it than just a regular
Yeah,
superhero.
But I don't know how much he's going to be involved with on a day-to-day. His brother is basically running the show.
Will you watch it?
Oh, of course, yeah.
Okay.
Because I'm a fan of the world that Marvel has created through these movies and the brand that they've established.
So were you not a comic book person?
I was intermittently for a while, but I wouldn't call myself a comic book
when you were
person.
A kid? No.
Yeah, but never enough to like be a diehard.
Yeah.
Yeah, like I was familiar with it, but yeah.
Now we got a couple of people returning to television after some time away. Robin Williams has a sitcom.
Oh, I can't fucking wait.
I sense a little sarcasm.
Just a little bit. Nanu Nanu.
He plays an ad man on it.
Really?
It's called The Crazy Ones.
So it's like Mad Men with Robin Williams.
You were disgusted by this.
It just seems lazy.
I don't know. I'm telling you, because you know what? I still miss Boston Legal with William Shatner. I was absolutely... Matter of fact, where do you think I got word salad from was from that show, you know, from James Spader, when he would, you know...
Ultron.
Who would, you know, this incredibly articulate man, but he would see a certain woman and he would completely lose his ability to put words together and he called it word salad.
Ah.
That's where the show name came from. And so, and I love... I mean, William Shatner was just so... Did you ever watch that show? Oh, my God. If you ever want to watch a show in reruns, that's one. It's like it really was.
He won a bunch of Emmys for it.
Oh,
yes,
incredible.
He did.
Really did. And well-deserved. Not they weren't like, oh, you're an old guy. We'll give them to you. It was because he
Bob Newhart.
He was hysterically funny. Absolutely. Really, really funny. And there hasn't been anybody like him. There's nobody like him on television. And that's why I keep hoping, well,
so
maybe Robin Williams.
Maybe he has enough off-kilter of a character.
I wonder if he'll be like a William Shatner type wacko character that's just so entertaining to watch that you just look forward to it every week.
I think the writing needs to be strong enough to pull Robin Williams out of his
worst
impulses. Oh,
if they let him do nothing but improv, then it's just going to be a mess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Michael J. Fox is coming back to television. I kind of feel like I would like to check out his show because I everybody just loves Michael J. Fox.
Did you see him? Did you ever watch Rescue Me?
Yes.
No, I didn't
see him on Rescue Me.
Yeah.
What was he on, like 6 or 7 episodes?
Yeah.
He was a amazing.
Also, Michael J. Fox did not become a caricature of himself the way that Robin Williams did.
And I think not necessarily comparing the two, except that they're both coming back to television.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael
J. Fox just plays himself. He is just him. And that's...
I mean, this looks like, though, just like a little family sitcom, but that could be good.
Betsy Brandt from Breaking Bad.
Yeah, who's killing it on Breaking Bad this season.
Literally.
Well, not literally.
No.
But she's killing it on
Breaking Bad. Two episodes left. Let's wait and see.
But,
she's shoplifting it.
I'll give Michael J. Fox's show a shot.
Okay.
Here's one that I think is interesting.
Yes.
So, Gordon Ramsay has a new show. Chef Gordon Ramsay has Junior Master Chef. So, basically, this is going to be him screaming at children for an hour each week.
I'd rather watch that than Robin Williams.
Oh, my God. I just can't watch the man. I can't handle it. You know what? I can't watch any of those shows where people are screaming.
What he does. He just screams at chefs.
I just can't stand, you know, and maybe it's because I've been a performer my whole life, is that, like, I couldn't watch American Idol. Are you kidding me? To listen to, you know, people are so mean. They're just so mean to these kids, and I'm like, I don't have enough rejection in my life every day already. I'm like, yeah, let me go watch television where I can watch other people be rejected just as painfully as I am. I'm
go
like,
watch children whose parents had to sign waivers.
Oh, Lord.
So I don't think we're in for that.
Here's what does he do? Hold on. What does he do? Like yelling at their lemonade stands and their peanut butter and jelly sandwiches? Like, what is he going to be criticizing?
Kid cooks?
What's a kid cook?
Put a bunch of children near open flames.
Have a foreign man scream at them. What does a child cook? You know what it is? You help your dad. That's a kid cook.
Help him by the grill.
No,
help
you
your
help
mom
your mom
in the kitchen.
You help your mom cut some shit up. You open a can. Come on. Kid cooks, my ass.
Well... yeah, I don't think any of us are in for that. I want to move on. I want to get a couple more of these in before we move to a new topic. But I am interested in seeing Masters of Sex.
Is this Gordon Ramsay screaming at them about their sex positions?
This is, that would be amazing.
Yeah. You're doing it wrong!
But it's Michael Sheen, who I think is a tremendous actor.
Not related to Charlie.
And Lizzie Kaplan, who I love as well. And this is them. It's Masters and Johnson, and it's going to be, you know, them in the 60s teaching people about sex and researching sex.
Well, actually, no, not in the beginning, not teaching, because in the beginning, all they were doing was having people demonstrate for them and then getting, you know, doing all the surveys on them and everything. It was only later that they started, like, actually doing the education and et cetera, et cetera. And it was like, I'm sorry, but this thing is fascinating. How could you not watch this?
I am really excited. Because, I love the period and then these actors. And, Lizzie Kaplan is gorgeous, and it won't hurt to see her naked.
And here it is, like, this secretary. You know, she wasn't a researcher like he was. She didn't have a whole medical background. It's just that
he put it in her.
God help me. No, the thing that he saw,
God bless you,
is that she had this rapport with people. That he, you know, the problem was he couldn't get anybody to talk to him because he was this cold, he was a cold fish. Whereas she was somebody who really had this experience with getting people to answer her questions. And so he figured, okay, let me see if I can get her. And she did. And I just think
it's fascinating.
For the 50 years, people have been living by these statistics about sex, and we have no idea where it came from. So, I mean, I think that's going to be absolutely fascinating.
The way you describe it, this is basically any sort of cop buddy show. It's like Elementary, only with sex. Instead of solving crimes, because he's like House, or he's fucking Sherlock Holmes, she's Watson, and that's what they're doing. Instead of solving homicides, they're opening people's
pants
up. It'll
be the investigation of the flaccid penis.
Yes, exactly.
Exactly.
It's a procedural. There you go. It's a sex procedural.
Swear.
The case of the cunnilingus.
I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be fascinating because you know what? They just do such a good job.
So these are some of the shows that'll be premiering in the next few weeks. Should you watch them? Probably not because they'll all be canceled prematurely anyway.
Well, not Masters of Sex. I think that
will not be prematurely cancellated.
There will be no premature
cancellation.
Now I got to ask you a question, Laura.
Yes, dear.
Do you like F1 racing?
Not a huge fan, so I hear you are, huh?
That doesn't surprise me, because you know what? No one is, except...
except three-quarters of the world.
Now, NASCAR, okay. What can I say? I'm from the South.
Bless
okay.
your heart.
Yeah, well, hello.
Sean, you are a big F1 racing
Very
fan.
Quickly, I'm going to put a pitch in for this movie. This is Ron Howard's new movie called Rush. It is, for those of you who don't know, Formula One racing is the third largest sport in the world behind the Olympics and the World Cup.
Event, then, because Olympics aren't a sport.
No, but, like, in terms of ratings.
Okay.
It's the richest, wealthiest, snottiest, sexiest sport in the world. This movie takes place, it's a real story based on the 1976 season, and this was back when 2 to 3 drivers a season would be killed.
Yikes.
Because they'd be driving at 200 miles an hour in an open frame car and just die.
Wow. Two
drivers, James Hunt, who was this cokehead, playboy, pretty boy, British driver, the women, the cars, the money, the sex, he was the reigning world champion. He was the world champion. He was competing for the world championship, my bad. And Niki Lauda, who is this cold, clinical German driver who had won the world championship the year before. They're competing through this 1976 season. Halfway through the season, Niki Lauda has a catastrophic crash, almost kills him. He suffers burns over most of his body.
Jeez.
During the interim, when he's recovering, James Hunt is building up points, winning races. He returns to the sport 6 weeks later. His body's barely healed. And so this movie is about that season. And I want to tell you what happens. And do not go on Wikipedia and do not look it up. It's a phenomenal story. And it stars Chris Hemsworth and Daniel Brühl.
Who was in Inglourious Bastards.
And Goodbye
Lenin.
He
was also in Goodbye Lenin, which is a terrific German
movie's
film.
Movie's getting fantastic reviews. It's sexy. It's amazing. It's high octane. Just go see it. It's a great film.
I have no interest in F1 racing, but I got to say, this movie looks really good.
So
it looks exciting.
I've seen the trailer for it, and it looks very interesting.
And my understanding also is that it was written by Peter Morgan, who wrote The Queen. Frost Nixon. My understanding is if you know nothing about Formula One racing, you'll be fine. Like, you don't need to...
that's something I worry about sometimes with these sport movies. Because I remember I saw that...
Invictus,
that Clint Eastwood rugby movie. And the movie did nothing to educate me in rugby. I mean, I know it was more about Nelson Mandela and this relationship, but I was watching the rugby match that ends the movie, and it occurred to me this movie had taught me nothing about rugby, and I was totally confused.
So you're not excited for the movie about the million-second quiz?
No.
And it's racing, you know, first place, second place, third place. Come on, it's
pretty straightforward. It looks exciting. Will people go see it, though? Do you think you think this will do well?
The F1 movie, or?
F1 movie.
Well, it's a Ron Howard movie, and I think a lot of people really like his stuff. And
globally, it'll...
Yeah, and the problem is that there has been such a lack of family movies. Why do you think The Butler did so well? Everybody's like, oh, it's because Oprah really promoted it. No, it's because if you want to go to a family-type movie that in which you would feel uplifted and enriched and actually, you know, have an experience, it's not going to happen. There's been so little of that. It's all just big blockbuster.
And this is a PG-13.
This is PG-13, and it's a true story, and they stick to the facts, and it really is an incredible, and it's also a snapshot of a world that is just alien. I mean, the way these people lived, the amount of money, and flying every week to a different exotic city around the world is just... So, go see Rush this weekend.
It comes out this weekend in limited, and it'll be out wide the weekend after. Ron Howard could use a hit, because his last movie was The Dilemma, and that is a piece of crap.
I think Ron Howard's okay, though. Speaking of exotic cities...
So, you mentioned the Olympics, and, we a few weeks ago, Laura, on the show, we had talked about a little bit about the controversy going on with the Winter Olympics in Sochi and how, you know, Russia, the way they treat homosexuals and this whole big controversy, and we talked about that, and, you know, this is a legit problem that the IOC is going to have to think about when putting forth a new city. Like, because clearly as the world gets smaller, we're more aware of the things that go on.
Well, and a lot of athletes are coming out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, they're, you know, that was kept hidden forever, and now they're coming out going, deal with me, people.
Tell me gymnasts are gay. Come on.
Huh?
You tell me gymnasts are gay.
Figure skaters.
Really? No.
What?
So, last week, they had to put forth who's going to get the Olympics for 2020. The Summer Olympics. You know, it's a big deal, and a lot of cities compete. Now, here's the thing, IOC. they had three choices. And although none of these places necessarily, well, some of them maybe, but although human rights concerns weren't their biggest concerns, but the three places they picked were Madrid, which is in financial ruin. I don't know if they could be constructing a giant Olympic stadium right now. The people need to eat.
No, what's wrong with 25% unemployment?
Istanbul.
Not Constantinople.
Which happens to be next to a war-torn nation right now of Syria, where they're I don't know if you're watching the news, people. I know our listeners, I don't know if they're news. Yeah, but not too good things going on right next door. And
60,000 refugees pouring into Turkey. It's okay.
And the last one was Tokyo. Now, you might think Tokyo, well, that doesn't seem so bad, except for the ridiculously high levels of radiation that are supposedly still leaking from the Fukushima nuclear plant.
But they're building the ice wall from Game of Thrones.
Yeah, they're building a wall of... They're constructing some wall of ice under the water to stop radiation from leaking. So, given these wonderful options, the IOC decided to go with Tokyo. And here's my big problem with this. You're going to have radioactive athletes. You're already worried about what doping's going to do. These people are going to be like the fucking Hulk, and they're going to go out there. Or the opposite effect, they're all going to get poisoned and die. Why couldn't you just pick another place? Why couldn't you pick Geneva or Toronto, which are lovely cities? Well, why can't they just host the Olympics? Pick a peaceful place. Don't pick places with financial ruin and radiation. Don't kill our athletes. Then that is why you, the IOC, are the enemy of the podcast this week. Pick a nice place. And by the way, all this was predicted. You remember the classic anime film Akira, based off a manga? Guess what? That was set in Japan for the 2020 Olympics. And Japan was in ruins from a nuclear accident at the time. Yeah.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And they're constructing the Olympic Stadium, and what's under the Olympic Stadium? Akira, who is going to destroy Tokyo with his psychic powers. So you're just looking for trouble. Neo Tokyo is about to explode.
Oh, God.
They predicted it. We have, not only do we have to worry about radiation, we have to worry about crazy psychic Akira.
This sounds terrible. Will you be going?
To the Olympics?
Yeah.
I might tune in.
Okay.
Well, it'll be fascinating to see if people end up boycotting it. Especially because, I mean, that's...
Because it's only
going to
get worse.
Yeah, it's only going to get worse.
What
it is.
The kaiju and, monsters. And the...
You know, but here's the deal is that the one thing is that by bringing the Olympics there, maybe it's going to put pressure on Japan to accept help from other nations, because the truth is, other countries have been offering help
from the day it started,
and Japan has said no. You know, they have kept everybody out, and they've not let.
Because they know how bad it is.
Yeah, they know how bad it is.
But
they're
around.
Idiots. They're complete idiots because there are experts all over the world that could have made sure that this had stopped a long time ago and was not doing as much damage as it's doing, and they're just like, you know, get out, get away. So who knows? Maybe
Admiral Perry to go in there with our guns and open that port.
What if the Olympics says they just go, you know what, you need to get this thing under control, and if you don't, we'll take it away from you.
You know what? That is a great point. It's actually similar to a point that came up when we talked about the IOC last time, where it said, well, maybe it's a good thing with this Russian Olympics with the homosexual stuff, because now the world knows about it more. It's more aware. But if you think the IOC chose them for that reason, you're giving them far too much credit. I think that's just going to be a happy outcome from it.
Well, I think they looked at who's got enough money to build the stadium that's got to be built. Let's be real.
Better than Istanbul.
Not Constantinople.
But it is a fantastic city.
It's a phenomenal. If you've never been, by the way, people, if you've never been to Istanbul, get your ass on a plane. It's a phenomenal
Turkey's
city.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so worried about this whole Akira thing. And isn't it so weird that it was predicted in the future? It was predicted!
Yeah, well, there you go.
You're more worried about a fictitious figure than you are about an actual nuclear power plant that is spewing radiation into the ocean.
He lives in fear of Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny.
I am terrified and of Jesus. This fictitious figure. Neo Tokyo is about to explode. I always like to end on an odd note, and this, honestly, with the, I almost changed this given of what happened in the news yesterday in Washington, D.C., but I have to bring this up. The state of Iowa is issuing permits to allow blind people to carry guns. And a quote from one of these blind people was, "When you shoot a gun, you take it out and point and shoot, and I don't necessarily think eyesight is necessary."
Are you kidding me?
As far as I'm concerned, eyesight is the thing that's most necessary.
Now, what you don't need for shooting a gun is hearing, because it's going to make you deaf anyway.
Yeah.
Without ear protection, you're deaf.
Guns for the deaf, not the blind.
There we go.
But no, this is the thing. There are blind people who have carry
my
permits.
Lord.
Just wandering the hills of Iowa, just firing blindly.
It's like, forget it. And this way, you know, they always say, well, if you'd have worn an orange vest, then you wouldn't have gotten shot. Well, guess what? Orange vest is going to help in this situation, people.
Blind people don't even know what orange is.
Exactly.
No matter where you fall in the gun control debate, I think we should all be able to get on the idea of don't give guns to blind people.
You
sorry,
know,
blind people.
You think you would have some consensus there.
Hey, Second Amendment rights. They have the right to defend themselves against British soldiers in Iowa.
Why not issue them driver's license, too?
That sounds sensible.
That's probably going to be next.
You know, I'm all for the rights of blind people, but you know what? Sometimes you got to know your limitations.
Because you're blind.
Yes, because you can't see.
But Will, justice is blind.
That is true.
Yeah.
So yeah, how do they but it's not shooting guns.
Yeah, I wouldn't give justice a gun either.
Hear that, justice? You can't scale and that's
no
it.
No gun for you, baby.
Oh, man.
Really?
I just thought that was too weird to not. I mean, I know now when I wrote this topic in here, guns, you know, because God forbid we stay on the gun issue in this country. But
we just had, you know, this tragedy in the Navy Yard. God bless them. And it's like, oh, yeah, let's not discuss that at all.
Yeah.
It's a mental health issue, Will. It's all it is.
Yeah, and that we give people who need mental health care guns. And on that note, Laura, it's been so great to have you on.
Well, I've had an absolute ball with y'all. Thank you so much for inviting me on, and I hope your wonderful listeners will check out my web series. And
well, I was going to say, before we go, I wanted you to plug away again.
You are the man. I really appreciate that. Yeah, so my web series is Y'all Are Rude, and it's at Miss Laura, L-O-R-A, MissLaura.com. And you can also find the whole thing on YouTube, and I'm also on Twitter at Ask Miss Laura, and my fan page is Ask Miss Laura on Facebook also. So.
And I had a question for you, actually. I didn't throw it in earlier. Can people submit questions to Miss
Laura? Absolutely, because every single episode she has her address there, which is Miss Laura at MissLaura.com.
There you go.
And so if anybody's got rude situations in their life, Miss Laura's always looking for opportunities to get people advice and tell them what to do. Because
nice.
She believes that, you know, if people would just do what Miss Laura says, the whole world would be such a much better place.
Well, don't y'all be rude, and, you know, go check out her show.
Or else she'll give a blind person a gun.
Sean, do the thing where you plug your things.
You can follow me at Twitter at TheSeanDavid. You can also purchase and read my book at Amazon Kindle. It's called Triumvirs, Triumvirs. And October 11th, I will be doing a talk on Verdi's Falstaff somewhere in West L.A., having a little trouble confirming the address, but I will get that to you. But if you're available Friday morning, October 11th. For our cultured listeners, you'll want to hear a little talk about opera, Verdi's last opera. Come see me.
You can follow me at The Real Will Link. You can also listen to me every Tuesday at 4 p.m. on the PM show with Larry Minetti at crntalk.com, digital radio. I review movies on his show. And it's been rough. Early September is a rough time for movies, but in the upcoming weeks, I'm going to have some good reviews.
He did like short-term 12?
Yeah, he doesn't know. He doesn't understand what I reviewed on that one. But it's a good movie, short-term 12. Go see it, people. You can also read reviews of mine at u1can.com. Can, you know, spelled like the city in France. And I have a wonderful review up of a wonderful movie that's out in theaters now, Wajada. It's a Saudi Arabian film. It's the first film ever directed by a Saudi woman, because they don't take kindly necessarily to women directing movies there. She had to direct some scenes from inside a van. You know, she had to hide. It's kind of a miracle of a movie. And honestly, if you can see it, go see it. You can also... this episode should be up Friday night. This coming Sunday, you'll be able to see me perform on Sunday, September 22nd at Tell It. I'll be reading an essay about dating younger women and how that hasn't worked out. And that's at 7:30 at Spirit Studios in Silver Lake. It's a free show. Just show up, and there'll be booze, and there'll be me telling stories.
I'm busy.
And I know you are actually legitimately busy. But everyone else should come down. There's a good cast for this storytelling show. And then I'll also be doing a reading on October 6th at the show Lit Up. That's also at 7:30 on a Sunday, and that's at the Lyric Hyperion Theater, and there's going to be something on our Facebook page telling you how you can get tickets to that one. And that's going to be a really great show. Alex Alexander is reading in that. Michael Patrick Duggan is reading in that, and it should be great.
Should be.
Yeah, and I just one more quick plug for Word Salad, which is wordsaladla.com, and we're going to be on the first Tuesday, October 1st. We're also going to be a part of the LA Storytelling Festival.
That's right.
On Saturday, October 5th. We'll be on the 7 p.m. hour, so that's very exciting.
And what's the location of Word Salad? Where is it?
It's at the Talking Stick, which is 1411 Lincoln Boulevard in Venice. So it's at the corner of Lincoln and California.
That is Venice, California, people, not Venice, Italy. Do not make the same mistake
I
did. Or
Venice, Florida.
Or Venice. Well, that's stupid.
Well, you're going to be hearing a lot more about Word Salad in the next few months, because I'll be plugging my appearance there in January.
Of course.
I've got five more months to hear about it.
You're going
to
hear about it constantly.
And
next week on the show, we have a storyteller himself, but also an author of a new book called An Open Apology to All My Ex-Girlfriends, Volume 1. His name is Sterling Gardner, and he's going to be telling us all about this book. And I want to know, I guess there's not enough is covered in Volume 1. He needs a Volume 2. I want to hear all about this.
It's like
And Sterling's on the October 1st show for Word Salad.
Oh, you're kidding me?
Yes, he is.
Look at that.
So
we'll see what he's doing from his book.
Look at this. Clearly, I've been booking a lot of people I've met at storytelling
shows.
It's
a beautiful thing.
Volume 1, it's like a decline and fall of the Roman Empire.
And the week after that, mm-hmm. I am very excited. Back when the podcast first started, on episode 8, we had a dominatrix who ran a webcomic, Nick Buxom. Wonderful young lady. Well, you know, we feel it's time to have another dominatrix on. So we're bringing on Mistress Tetra. I know Tetra. I've seen her work. She's going to tell us all about what how you get into this kind of work.
You felt her work?
She's going to hurt me, isn't she?
We won't go there.
She might. She might. So we're going to get into...
It'll be an NC-17 episode.
Yeah, we're going to get into how someone gets into that line of work. And she's actually got a lot of stuff to plug, because she puts on a lot of shows here in L.A.
And on that note...
And on that note...
On that note... always a pleasure, Laura.
Thank you. And for the Will Sean Podcast, I'm Sean David.
I'm Will Link.
And we're finished.
We're finished.